Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Haggai. That's in the Old Testament towards the very end. Haggai, spelled H-A-G-G-A-I. And if you get to the New Testament, just go back a couple books and you'll find Haggai. And that's where we'll be today, is Haggai was talking about rebuilding the temple for the remnant as they returned. And I feel like that pertains to us today as we are returning back to fellowship and togetherness and rebuilding the church. All right. Well, as we prepare for this, I think Haggai is a great place for us to begin today. I'm excited about that. No matter what we're facing, and we'll talk a little bit about that today, whatever we're facing, we have opportunity to rejoice even in our situation. Amen? All right. With that in mind, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. You guys said it like you believe it. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I love that. And sometimes you hear it. You may not like it, but sometimes you got to fake it till you make it and say, okay, man, God, I'm going to say I'm going to rejoice no matter what I'm going through, but, man, I'm still struggling. He says, that's okay. In His Word, He tells you, you're going to struggle, but you can find joy in Me, not in the circumstances or the situation or the people or persons or whatever it is, but He says, you can find joy in Me. So as we look today in Haggai, we'll discover a couple different things about bringing the house back together and getting the house together. And it says this in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. And by the way, guys, we're going to read through the whole book. Now, before you get upset, there's only two chapters, okay? So, you know, we'll get through that pretty quickly today. And it says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Spencer, can I ask you to do me a favor? I left my bottle of water right back there, and I'm about to choke to death up here. Could you, don't throw it to me. I'd say it and you'd do it, but I won't be able to get it. I apologize. You set it up there and prepare, and thank you. All right. And it says, a time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? And this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. As we come back, as we get the church back together from COVID, and we talked about this many months ago, it says the Lord will seek you out in your complacency. And I called it COVID complacency, because that's where a lot of people have, you know, moved to. Hey, I heard you're moving. Yeah, where'd you move to? I moved to COVID complacency. Oh, is it great? Yeah, it's wonderful. Don't have to do anything. And we come to this place of complacency, whether it's work, whether it's doing anything at home, whether it's the house of God. Hey, well, you know, the church is meeting. Well, I understand that, but hey, not right now. That's okay. Protect yourself, but participate in any way that you can. But listen to this. It says, consider your ways. Church, those listening on Facebook Live also, consider your ways today. Now I want you to listen to verse 6. We're going to come back to this at the very end. And it says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Man, that doesn't sound very profitable to life. I'm eating, I'm still hungry. I'm drinking, I'm still thirsty. I'm clothing myself, but I'm still cold. I've worked myself to death, but I have very little to show for it. Oh, and then I earn wages, but I put them in a bag that has holes in the bottom of it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways again. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above, you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit, for I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. I don't know. Let's see. For I am for you, says the Lord. That's the song we sang. And then we read something like this and we say, looks like a bit of a contradiction. He says, I am for you, I am with you. All this stuff that you did. He says, I blew it away. Why? Because you left my house in ruins. You took care of your house, you perfected your house, and you left my house in ruins. And he's talking about the obedience of the people. He brought them out of exile and out of bondage, and now they're coming back, and he says, but you guys didn't pay attention to me. You came back and wanted all this stuff. But man, you took care of yourself. And he says, I blew it all away. I caused the drought on the land. And I caused problems to be at the hands that labored. Now, in verse 12, it talks about the people's obedience. And then it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. And then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Now, we've got to understand, I mean, church, if we don't understand, God says, man, I can bless you and I can withhold blessing from you. I can do anything I want to do. And a lot of it is based on what you do. You guys came and you did all this stuff for yourself. I withheld this from you. But now all of a sudden the people say, whoo, the Lord has spoken, we better listen. And I'm telling you, church, when the Lord speaks, you better listen. And I don't care if you're young, old, in the middle of all that. When he speaks, you need to listen. My wife and I took a little day trip yesterday afternoon and evening and came back last night. She said, tell me something about you that I don't know. I said, well, when I was about 16, 17 years old, I wanted to be a preacher. She said, was that because your dad was one? I said, no. It was a calling that I felt I had. When the Lord speaks, you better listen. Just so you know, I didn't listen. I turned away from that calling for many years. Obviously, I've come back to it and thankful for that. But paid the price in those years, you know? Looking around, many of us that are older, I'll just say older, we can speak from experience. We can tell the young people, we can tell our children, hey, don't do this. I've been there, done that. You don't want to do it. And sometimes, probably like we were when we were young, we got to figure it out on our own. Oh, should have listened. Yeah. You know, these things happen. But he tells us, consider your ways. And he said it a couple times. He said it in the very end of verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then he said it up there in verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's a repeating theme through the Bible, that we've got to consider our ways. We've got to find out, where are we and what are we doing? We've done all this work in verse 6 when it talks about all those things. We've done this, and it's to the profit of what? Nothing. Why? Who's in control? Are we? No. The Lord is in control. He says, I did this, and by the way, in this particular book, in this chapter, in these verses, he says, and I'm going to tell you why I did it. Just so you know, he doesn't always reveal to us why he does it. We pray, Lord, why? He didn't give me a good explanation or an answer or a reason. And when I say he didn't give me a good one, he may not have responded at all. But in this particular place, he says, I blew it away. Why? Because of what you guys did or didn't do. Combination of both. And then we go in there in verse 12 that I just read, verse 13, I'm sorry. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So he can cause these things, but he can still be with us and walk with us as he's taking us through these different things in our life. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day, the sixth month, in the second year of King David. And Eric and I were speaking briefly before, and we talked about Nehemiah. And there was a, what happened in Nehemiah? A rebuilding of the temple, right? He said, man, how and why does this come into ruin? Do people walk away? Do people lose focus? Do they lose priority? And here they lost priority because it says, I've taken care of my own home, but I've kind of forgotten about that. Now, there's not a whole lot of people in person here today. But man, we got some bad news. Anyone get an insurance bill in the state of Oklahoma and have it decrease or stay the same? No. Guys, the church insurance increased dramatically. And here's all I'm going to ask. If you're watching online, if you're here in person, man, $25 a week. Can you put that in? Every person that's here, let me put it this way. Every person that's here that brought themselves here on their own or came with a spouse, can you give $25 extra a week? Because it's going to take a whole lot of work to take care and cover this gigantic increase in insurance. And if we don't take care of it, then we have to look at other options. And it's huge. And it weighs on us as pastors, as leaders, to take care of that properly. And I'm not talking it went up $100 or $500. I'm talking a lot of money. This COVID has caused a lot of problems. But we can walk through that. We're coming back together. Church, we've got to take care of the house of God as well. And we have a responsibility because we're all enjoying it. Please don't tell me, well, I come, but I'm not enjoying it. You know, we're all enjoying it. We're all here, and we all have reason to participate in this. And we talked the last couple weeks about celebrating Jesus Christ and celebrating his resurrection. And because of that, man, we have life no matter what we face. And our loved ones in death have life. And so now they're talking about the people's obedience. And all of a sudden they said, oh my goodness, the Lord has spoken. He says, I am with you. And it says the spirit of these folks got stirred up. And we need the spirit to be stirred up. And we do that through fellowship. We probably do that with communication of what's going on and needs. But this message came from God. Chapter 2 says, in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying this, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land. says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Now he said it back in chapter 1, the end of verse 13. I am with you. He says it again. I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. And then as he often tells us, and we often forget, do not fear. Well, if I do this, I'm afraid that, oh my goodness, do not fear. He made a covenant with them when they came out of Egypt. He says, I'm upholding my end of this. What about you guys? For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. We fill this place with His glory if we allow that. If we open ourselves up and allow us to be used as that vessel for Him. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Anybody need peace today in this place? Anybody need peace today watching us online? He says, I will give it in this place. My goodness, if we can get ourselves to this place. Matter of fact, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. That's on our banner right here. Mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, 2 Timothy is where that one's from. 1 Timothy, he says, I want guys to lift holy hands in prayer. And he desires us to be a praying people. But he desires us to be an obedient people as well. And I'm telling you, I've preached this forever at my work. We cannot expect maximum reward for minimum effort. Just doing the bare minimum is not going above and beyond. I have life. Well, good for you. Jesus came that we may have life and have it what? More abundantly. He desires that for us. And when we're obedient, we can have that. That doesn't mean immediately we'll have it, but it doesn't mean it won't. But good grief, have we tried it? Or have we feared too much what's going on? Haggai chapter 2, verse 10 says, on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. They're saying, if a holy person touches someone or something, does it become holy by the touching? No, it does not. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it become unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And then Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hand, and what they offer there is unclean. Now it goes on in verse 15, and it says, and now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail and all the labors of your hands. Yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Guys, as we go through things, and some He has brought on Himself, He says, but you didn't turn to me. If you respond to me, if you turn to me, if you draw near to me, we can work through these things. Verse 17 says, I struck you with the blight and mildew and all the labors of your hand, yet you did not turn to me. He knows that. Do we know that? Do we know what caused it? Now consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Now hang on, church. Verse 19. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day I will bless you. He says, through obedience, through turning to me, through coming back to me, man, I will bless you. From this day I will bless you. I've done this, and I've caused this because of your actions. But now, based on your obedience, from this day I will bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. When our priorities are off, it's nearly impossible for us to follow Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If that's our priority, then these other things line up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these other things start to line up. Priorities get in line. The rebuilding itself of the temple. It wasn't the temple that was great for these people. It isn't the person up here talking. But it's what you do in your heart and in your mind that opens up and allows the Holy Spirit to transform you, pull you through these things, draw you near to Him, and get you into this. Now He says, I'm going to promise you a blessing. But let me ask you, church, when you go out to reap the harvest, is the seed still in the barn? I've told the story before where this guy was doing this class project and a teacher, and he's waiting and his seed never grows, and all the other kids there are growing, and he digs through it and he's like, oh, doggone it, I forgot to put the seed in there. He left it here on his desk or whatever. And he didn't put the seed in there. But he kept going back there every day looking for that blessing or the reward, if you will, for planting the seed. Is the seed still in the barn? We reap what we what? Sow. Hadn't I just said that before during offering? If we sow sparingly, we also will reap sparingly. Church, this isn't a tithing message. I'm saying that ties into it. But is the seed still in the barn? We have so many opportunities to rebuild the church. There's opportunities here at Prayer of Faith to participate, to volunteer. Yeah, that's what everything we need is, a volunteer position. What do we have need of? Teachers, laborers. Laborers to pick up what? Broken limbs, fix fences back here in the playground that were damaged during the ice storm. Mow, weed eat, edge. Blow the grass anywhere but on our driveway. We have need to rebuild the temple. Give. Everybody surely can pray for something. Man, can you pray and partner in prayer over these things? Now, I said I'd come back to this at the end in verse 6. And it says, you have sown much and bring in little. Guys, a lot of times our work is for nothing in God's eyes. For us, we're building this other house that's massive, not literally, but I'm just talking about our life. You have sown much and bring in little. We eat, yet we're still hungry. We're still searching for something. You drink and are not filled. By the way, Jesus Christ said, I am the what? The bread of life. Drink this and you will never thirst again. You clothe yourself, but you're never warm. And then when we earn money, we put it in the bag that have holes in it. And we just lose it behind because we don't pay attention. And I'm telling you, lackluster obedience is going to get lackluster blessing. I'm just telling you. It doesn't mean that the Lord can't give you this massive blessing, but church, sometimes He's waiting on you to make the move. He says, man, I've got the blessing. Where is it? It's at the foot of the cross. If you'll just walk up there and pick it up, it's right there. I've got a blessing. Where'd you put it? Man, I put it right there in that third step. Man, if you'll just get down on your knees and pray, that blessing is right there, church. By the way, I've got hundreds of people praying over this or that. That's great. Have you prayed for yourself? And I'm not talking about the prayer of fear. God, I don't want to face this. Heal me, restore me, fix me, make me right. Whatever that prayer of fear is. He says, no, I don't have that. We have the prayer of faith. Well, let's exercise it. Let's start praying in faith and pray for ourselves and pray for others. For many, it's simply time to go out to the barn. Say, okay, Lord, I've been disobedient, but I've got to get the seed out and I'm planting it. And I don't care if that's a seed of love, the seed of compassion, the seed of volunteerism, the seed of giving, whatever it is, the seed of this, that, or the other thing that is the benefit of someone other than you. He says you may have to go to the barn today. Good gosh, church, don't wait. Go today. Well, it's a little muddy out there. Go today. Getting that seed and planting that seed today may be life-changing for you or someone else. But in Haggai, he's given us a couple things. He says the remnant has come back, and we're coming back together. And he says, doggone it, I made a covenant with you guys. And you didn't follow it. I'm trying to do my part, says the Lord. But you guys, you're disobedient. And you are taking care of yourselves, and you're doing very well at taking care of yourselves. He says, I'm going to blow it away. And here's why. Because you have not been obedient to me and my house and protected it and taken care of it. God doesn't like disobedient people. He has punishment for them. And then through the people's obedience, he said, now, because of your obedience, I'm going to bless you. And by the way, through your obedience, I'm also going to offer you some strength and some healing and some power through your obedience. Church, we want to come back together and we want to rebuild His church. In a prayer of faith, we need your help. We need you to come. We need you to help. We need you to volunteer. We need you to give. We need you to pray. Are you willing to answer that call and get the seed out of the barn today? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the very short but powerful message from Haggai, Lord, that talks about the people's return from exile and their disobedience. Lord, we ask today that you're calling your people back to you and to your house to be strong. To rebuild not just what was, but to strengthen what was to be better than it ever was. To be strong for one another. God, today many have a choice to make. Not just obedience, Lord, but retrieving things and giving up things that they desire to hold on to. Whether it's their time or their talent or their money. But Lord, you spoke to that. You said it was all for nothing. Lord, I pray today that we respond to your message. Not to my words, Lord, but to your words. We continue to grow the church. In Jesus' name, amen.